Jones.
Yo, 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 welcome back to another installment of Truth. We've got here Frequently Asked Questions. It's your boy Z, and I'll be taking this one today. So we'll just dive straight into it. The question is, what is the difference between the godly grief and worldly grief? And why does one lead to salvation but the other one to death? And so the person has taken their question and have based it on 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10. Just to give you a little highlight of what's going on, I guess what I would want to do is actually read it from the verse 8. So we know that 2 Corinthians comes after 1 Corinthians. And what has happened here is that Paul has written his first letter to the church in Corinth. And obviously the church in Corinth was a very gifted church. They're gifted in what they do, in the gifts that they operate in the Holy Spirit. But yet the church is there with a lot of sin and immorality. And so as Paul writes the first letter and they receive it, he actually wants us to take it in from verse 8. It says, "For even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, for I perceived the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a while. Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but now your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing." And then the verse 10 says, "For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death." And so I think greatly here what is emphasized, what Paul is emphasizing to us, is that there is difference between godly grief and worldly grief. And so what we can see is that worldly grief, what Paul is highlighting here, is worldly grief doesn't actually lead you to repentance. I.e., like when I was young, or something like that, or you know them ones, you go out partying and then your mum will catch you, give you a couple licks, and then you're like, "Oh, sorry mum, you won't do it again." But more time, there's a party next week and you're dabbing on it, you're going, you're gonna sneak out, you're gonna do whatever. That's not a real, I'm not actually really sorry for what I'm doing. Like, what I am, I'm sorry that I got caught doing what I was doing. I think sometimes you watch, like, when we watch movies and that or something like that, and we can see someone gets caught in the act of maybe cheating or whatever, they're apologetic, or when they do something wrong, then they're apologetic. But what happens is, it's just that they're sorry that they got caught. And that "sorry that I got caught" doesn't lead to an actual change in behavior. What it means is that you're sorry in the moment for what has been, that you've been caught in the act. And maybe you do feel some sort of guilt, but it actually doesn't produce change. It doesn't produce change. And I think the word "sorry" after that must have change attached to it. So I think the one big difference that we see between godly grief and worldly grief is that worldly grief can make you sad for a moment. It can make you sad for a month. It can make you sad for 2 years. However, it doesn't actually produce any sort of change. It doesn't produce change. And why doesn't it produce change? It doesn't produce change because change is done by the Holy Spirit. It takes the work of two, both human and the spirit, but you need the key ingredient of the Holy Ghost. And so what we find is that godly grief is actually the one that brings you to your knees, causes you to repent, causes you to ask God for help, because you know that, you know, what you've done or what you've been doing, it's actually made you feel a sorrow that has led to repentance. Now, repentance, to repent, is to change direction. So that means is that there has been a change. A godly sorrow that actually leads to repentance means a sorrow that is leading to change, that brings us to our knees, that teaches us to say no to ungodliness. And that's the actual godly truth. That's the godly sorrow that God wants us to experience. And so the reason why that one leads to salvation and the other doesn't is because the other one is actually done out of selfish ambition. Yeah, it's going to sound like a bit harsh, but it's true. Worldly sorry, if you think about all the times like you've been sorry and it's not really produced a change, it's all about self. It's all about worrying about self. But if you've done something and you're apologetic to the other person and you realize what that has made the other person feel, you're going to be different about your actions. That's why the Bible lets us know in Matthew 3:8, it says, prove by the way that you live that you have truly repented. Why? Because when we believe, we receive the Holy Spirit from on high, and then he begins to bear fruit. Every tree that abides in me, John 15, tells us that we have to bear fruit. And the Father prunes it that it will bear more fruit. Hence why in the book of Matthew, we have proved by the way that you live that you've truly repented and turned to God. And that's the beautiful thing here. And so this godly sorrow is the one that makes you realize your need for Jesus. It makes you realize your need for the Spirit of God. You see, worldly sorrow is about, I won't do it again. Yeah, I won't do it again. And sometimes even we sort of bring this into Christianity, like, oh, we've sinned and oh, I won't do it again. I won't do it again. But it's more, God, help me not to do it again. Lead me not to do it again. Warn me not to do it again. Strengthen me not to do it again. It's all about him. I think I've spoken about something in this regard before. Like Jesus, it's all about Jesus. You know that song, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's always all about Christ and what he can do. And then he is imputed in us and enables us to do his will. So that is why you will see that one leads to salvation, the road of Christ, the beauty and the splendor, a life full of richness in the Spirit, and the other one leads to death, because it's all about self and it's all about I. We cannot do nothing in and of ourselves, but with the power of the Holy Spirit, we can overcome every sin, we can overcome every bondage and every chain, and that means we should put our hope in him. So we must pray that even sometimes if you find that you're just in the habit where you're not really feeling this godly grief, you say sorry, but it's not really there. Read the scriptures, understand, pray that God help me. Even I love that scripture, I believe, Lord, but help my unbelief. It's not only for just faith in believing in things. It's about faith for coming out of sin, to have that godly sorrow, to trust in Christ as your anchor and believe in him. So yeah, I hope that you've enjoyed this one. I've tried to keep it short, but I know I've gone on a little bit. But yeah, so I hope you guys enjoyed this. Follow us on _truthuk on Instagram, YouTube. Make sure you tap in, keep asking us questions, because I'm enjoying this series of frequently asked questions, and I'll see you soon. Love, peace and joy. Take it easy. Bye. I've been out here feeling lost, trying to find my way.